Morning, John chapter 15, and Pastor preached last week on the meat of God's word and growing in the Lord. And I thought, as the Lord gave me a message this week, it goes with our theme for our youth group, and we just are finishing up. And so this is kind of like the final message that I get to preach to our church family and as well to our teenagers, but it has to do with growing. Our theme for our youth group is 2 Peter 3:18. It's our verse, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom glory both now and forever. Amen. That's our theme for our youth group. In fact, we've called our logo this year is GT7. And it's talking about 2 Peter chapter 1. There's seven things, if you remember in chapter 1, that we've got to add to our faith in order to grow. And there's seven different Christian characteristics we want in our life. And so we've been talking about those. And this is kind of a final combination message for that. But I was thinking about this, and Pastor talked about the meat of the word, and I thought, I don't want to be given the mush this morning if Pastor's been given the meat, but I want to encourage you here to think through this passage in a different way. I want you to think through this passage. Maybe you've heard this passage before, but I want you to go through with a mindset of humility as we open the word of God, as we always should, and a mindset of, I wonder if this could be me mindset as we look at that this passage of scripture today. So as I pray, we'll jump right into this passage of Scripture. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for the opportunity to preach this truth. And Lord, thank you for the work that you're doing in each one of our lives. Lord, we pray that you would continue to grow us in grace. Lord, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to grow. We want to see you work, and we want to see you do special things in our lives. But Lord, sometimes that's hard. And sometimes, again, Lord, that takes work on our part. We don't want to do that work. We don't want to take that effort. And I pray this morning that you might work in hearts of believers here this morning and help them understand the importance and the need to take some extra time, to put some extra effort into the Word of God, into the work of God in their own lives. And Lord, I pray that you would help someone who who's not saved, doesn't know for sure if they die today where they're going, that this morning they might understand the important truth that they need to know for sure that when they die that they're going to heaven and not to hell. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if I should admit this openly, but I'm going to do it. Okay, a couple years ago, I went over to Pastor's house. He graciously invited us over during COVID at the time, and he said, hey, we're outside. He said, I'm going to give you some blackberry bushes. We've got blackberry bushes in abundance. And maybe some of you have recipients. How many of you are recipients of that as well? I think Brother Frank was, right? Some others, yes. And so they got some blackberry bushes. And so we went out with their family, and we got some blackberry bushes. We dug them up. And we also got some berries, and it was delicious. But I told Pastor, remember, I told him, I'm not the best at gardening. I'm not the best at you know, getting the fruit to stay, if you know what I mean. And my wife, you know, she loves gardening too, but I don't think there's a green thumb in our family right now, right? So we decided, hey, we're gonna work at this. We're gonna try this, and so we dug a hole, put those in there, and as every good gardener does, forgot about them. So forgot about them. Pastor had told me. He said these plants are resilient. You know what? He was right. They were resilient, and it was several months after they were there, they were small. I was mowing on the corner edge where they were, and I was mowing. I heard. Poof, 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 poof. And I thought, those might be the blackberries and plants. And so they were the blackberry plants. And so I went over, I looked at them, and I said, oh, man. So I told my wife, I said, yeah, I got the blackberry plants. I don't think I got all of them, but I got some of them. And she said, it should be good. And we looked at the plants. But, you know, this year, they're actually, you know, blooming quite a bit. In fact, we've got berries everywhere. I mean, it's crazy. It's spread out like crazy. In fact, we had an issue too where we had something where we had someone help us out, and there was some, they were getting some grass, and they had some poison stuff, and they got the berries. They got the berries, so they all part of them dried up. And it was amazing, though. Even at the end of the summer, the berries are still just flourishing. I mean, at the end of summer, they're flourishing, and they keep growing. They keep bearing fruit. In fact, my kids ask me, they say, hey, Dad, can we go out and get some berries? I'm saying, yeah, just take as many as you want right now, because there's berries, you know, everywhere on those plants. Now, they're small right now. But it's amazing how resilient those plants were. You know, let me just tell you, in our Christian life, God wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be fruitful in the work of God, and that's what John 15 is about. In fact, in John chapter 15, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And this Jesus is coming very near to the end of his earthly ministry before he's about to die. And he's trying to prepare these men. They go to the upper room, and they've been talking with Jesus for 3.5 years, and Jesus is trying to instill in them some knowledge, right? He wants these disciples to be fruitful. He wants them to grow. In fact, he knows. He already knows the future. He knows that they're going to be fruitful, but he's giving them what they need to be fruitful. And so he's sharing with them some truths here throughout this passage of Scripture. You know, chapter 14, there's a familiar passage where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? No man comes to the Father but by me. And so he's telling them, hey, don't worry, okay? Thomas, it's okay. The way is through me. It's all right. You will understand. I'm the way to heaven. So he gives them those truths. But then he gives them another question that Judas asked. Now, this Judas that asked was not Judas Iscariot, the other apostle, the other disciple. In John 14, 22, here's a question he asked. It was a great question. He said, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? He's asking a great question. Well, how are you going to work in our lives? We're not talking about the world here. We're talking about personally, as your disciples, how are you going to do a work in us? And that's where we have these very comforting verses from John chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. Verse 26 says this, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit this morning? Aren't you glad for the comfort of the Holy Spirit? You know, the Holy Spirit comforts us. According to this verse, the Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And the Holy Spirit convicts us. You know, most of those we're pretty excited about. Hey, the Holy Spirit comforts us. We love to be comforted, right? Hey, we love to be taught the Word of God as believers. We love to be guided to truth most of the time. But sometimes we just don't want to be convicted, right? We don't want to hear that what we're doing is wrong. You know, we can tell others. We're amazing, right? We're professionals at telling others, hey, you're doing wrong. Yeah. You know, as a youth pastor, that's my job, right? Hey, teenagers, don't be doing that, right? Hey, don't be doing that. But when it comes to our own life and the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we don't want to hear, hey, you are doing wrong. You know what? There ought to be a desire in each one of our lives to keep on growing. To keep on growing closer to the Lord and getting closer every single day. We should never, ever be satisfied with where we're at spiritually. We should never get to a place in our life where we are comfortable and we say, I'm good, I'm okay, I'm all right here. No, we have to have a mindset that, you know what, I'm not where I need to be today. Hey, I still have areas I need to grow in. I still have places where I need to be stronger spiritually. I still have places where the devil would love to get a place in my life, get a foothold, and bring me down. So I've got to keep on growing. You know, as an athlete trains to get better, right? Continues to do the work every single season, off season as well. As an athlete trains, as a chef continues to prepare and to work hard, as an artist continues to increase their abilities to create, or as a musician spends hours practicing on lessons to get better, as a scholar takes time to study their books over and over again, as a doctor or nurse goes to years of college to get to a certain place where they feel better. You know what? That is what we ought to do as believers. We ought to study. We ought to work hard as believers. Now, I'm so thankful this morning that it doesn't matter, though, about our education background if we're going to be filled with the Spirit. If we're going to have a fruitful life, it doesn't matter about what degree you have here this morning. It doesn't matter about, hey, where you came from, your background. What matters is that you are attached to the vine and you are doing what you're supposed to do when it comes to the vine telling you. Now, I want to just see here this morning, there's a man named D.L. Moody. Now, I love to read. There's certain things I love to read, but I love to read about men of God. D.L. Moody was a man of God. But you know that D.L. Moody's formal education ended after fifth grade. After fifth grade, he was done with formal education. And he went at 17 years old. He went into a job into the city, into Boston, and eventually became a shoe salesman. He went to church. His requirement was that he had to go to church. He had a Sunday school teacher named Edward Kimball. Now, Edward Kimball loved D.L. Moody, loved him. In fact, he loved him so much that one day in the back of the shoe store, he shared the gospel with D.L. Moody, and D.L. Moody got saved. Remember, no, he did just a fifth grade education. D.L. Moody had a burden on his heart as he looked around Chicago and saw that there was lots of kids that were homeless, kids that didn't have good homes. And he said, I want to start a Sunday school for these kids. So D.L. Moody started that Sunday school, and it began to explode. It began to take off in just incredible ways. In fact, later on, D.L. Moody became involved in the YMCA. He got so involved in the YMCA when it was good at that time for young Christian men that he quit his secular job. You see, he had a goal to make $100,000 before he died at that time. Now, $100,000 today, not a ton of money, right? But $100,000 when it came to that day, I mean, that was a ton of money. And that was his goal. But as he began to work in the Sunday school ministry, as he began to work in the YMCA, he started realizing, you know what? That's not really important. That's not real fruit. That's not really what I want my life to be defined by. And so he began to work hard and pour his life into people sharing the gospel. In fact, the Civil War broke out. As the Civil War broke out, he got involved on both sides. If you read his biography, he gets involved on both sides and he begins to help them. He begins to minister to the soldiers and begins to preach, and God uses them in tremendous ways. The Chicago fire comes through Chicago and burns down some of Moody's things that he has, and he has to start over. But God continues to bless Moody. In fact, he goes to the United Kingdom, and he starts preaching and starts doing revivals there, and people start getting saved. I mean, God's just doing a wonderful work in his life. He comes back to the United States, continues to do a bunch of revivals, and God uses them all throughout the United States. And then we have books about D.L. Moody, about the man who had a fifth grade education, who said, Lord, I just want to be fruitful in the work of God. Hey, I just want to do what you want me to do. I have a desire to follow you. Now, God can do an incredible work in any one of us here today. The thing is, there's three things we must understand when it comes to the Word of God. And we're going to look at those here in just a moment. In John chapter 15, let's look at our Bibles here and let's read what Jesus has to say. This really is in response to Judas's question, the idea that he's saying, hey, how are you going to make yourself manifest to us? How are you going to show yourself to us when we're gone? How are you going to do that? And this really is a response. Now, if you have a red letter Bible, then you know this is Jesus speaking. How she asks. This is Jesus speaking right here. Verse number 1. I am the true vine. How many of you know, how many of you guys know that there's a lot of counterfeit vines out there today? There's a lot of non-genuine, okay? These people that say, hey, they're not real, okay? The people say, hey, I know who, I can help you. I can give you eternal life. Hey, just pay me so much money and we'll pray for you and we'll heal you, you know? We'll do this for you. We'll do that for you. There's so many counterfeits out there. And Jesus makes it very clear. I am the true vine. I'm the authentic one. I'm not a counterfeit. I'm real. I want you to understand that. That was important in Jesus' day as well. Because there's lots of other people, the Pharisees, the scribes, other religious, the Sadducees, that were saying, hey, we are the way. Come follow us. Come follow us. And Jesus said, no, I am the true one. You know, again, John 14, it's singular in the grammar there. The way, the truth, and the life. It's just one, okay? There's one vine that we've got to attach ourselves to. Just one. It's Jesus Christ. So he starts off saying, hey, I'm the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. He says, my Father, God, is the vine dresser. Or he is the farmer. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. John 15:8. Look at that verse there. It says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear what kind of fruit? What kind of fruit this morning? Much. I don't even have used to that. I'm used to teenage. Much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So the desire of God this morning is that every single believer here would not gain, hey, let's have fruit. Or let's have some fruit. Hey, let's have more fruit. You know, the end of the result here is that you would get to a place which you would bear much fruit. That's the desire of God, that you would bear much fruit in your life. And so I want you to look here this morning here. We're going to look at this idea of fruit. Now, what is fruit? What is fruit? Obviously, we know what fruit is physically, but spiritually, fruit is the work of the Spirit produced in and through a life of a believer because of their union with Christ. Because they are attached to Christ, because they have the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, the Bible tells us here that exactly what we need to bear and how much we need to bear. So let's look, first of all, at bearing fruit. The first truth that we need to understand from this passage is responding correctly to the Word of God. There has to be a correct responding to the Word of God. If we're going to bear much fruit, we are going to have to trust in the vine and trust in the husbandman. He says in verse number two, he says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." You see, in the Christian life, growing in the Christ is a process. You don't wake up overnight and all of a sudden say, "Hey, you know what? I'm an amazing Christian. Hey, I know I'm where I'm at because I just read my Bible. I read 100 pages, you know, the day before, and all of a sudden I'm a super Christian. You know, I just listened to a series of messages, you know, the week before revival service, and all of a sudden I'm an amazing Christian." You know, the idea is this: the Christian life is a process. In fact, we have a word in the Bible. The idea is sanctification. Is that God is continuing to work in each one of our lives. God is working in our life. The word they have here that Jesus says is purgeth. Purgeth. Now, this Greek word purgeth, it means purge. It means to cut off. It also means to cleanse. The word cleanse here in the same passage is the same Greek word. So you have the word purge and you have the word cleanse. So that both of these are true when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ working in our lives. He's purging us. Okay, he's cutting things, removing things out of our life. And he's cleaning us through the Word of God. That's what God is doing. He's purging, he's cutting things out of our life. I mean, what do we see then in the Word of God? We see in the book of Hebrews that we're supposed to lay aside the sin that does so easily beset us and lay aside every weight. The things in our life that are keeping us from God, God will cut those things out. If you're here this morning and you were saved years ago, you can testify this morning and you can share. There are things that I used to do as a Christian, not as a lost person, but there are things I used to do as a Christian that I don't do them anymore. God's spoken to me through his word. He's taught me through the Holy Spirit. Christians shouldn't do that. There's things that maybe you used to watch, things you used to look at. You say, I don't do that anymore. As I've read the word of God, I know that, hey, that's not good for me. Hey, that's not what God wants me to do. There's places maybe that you used to go right after you got saved and you started understanding, you know, I can't go there anymore. There's people you used to associate with and people that used to be close friends of yours. And you say, I can't be with those people anymore because that's not what Christianity is about. That's not what Jesus is about. You see, when Christ is coming into a person's life, he begins to change them. He transforms their life. You know, the Bible is not about, okay, it's not just about information, as you've heard, but it's about the transformation of people's lives. God wants to make us more like him, more into his image each and every day. So I want to say this morning, this is a necessary purging. Purging is not always fun. It's not always something, a process that we like to go through. But Jesus is telling his disciples, and they have no idea yet, but they're going to learn. He's telling them, you're going to go through a purging. You're going to go through a hard time. And man, I want to tell you, you're going to go through some tough things, but it's going to make you the person that I want you to be. It's going to help you bear much fruit. You know, I can think of one disciple, and you probably can too, that's listening to this thinking, that's good, Jesus. That's wonderful. But when do we eat lunch? You know? When are we doing this? Peter, right? Peter already said, I got this, right? We're good. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'll purge you. Hey, I'll cut some things out of your life. Hey, I'll cut that pride out of your life. Hey, I'll cut that lying tongue. I'll cut that idea of competitive Christianity in your out. And I will humble you, and I'll bring you to a place where you'll understand, you know what? Hey, it's all about God. It's all about God. Remember Acts chapter 3, you fast forward after Jesus dies on the cross, ascends into heaven. Peter and John are going up to the temple to pray, right? And the blind man's there, or the lame man's there, the lame man's there, and they say, hey, I need some gold, right? He said, I don't have any gold, but such as I have, right? The name of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Rise up and walk. Right? He understood, I don't have anything of myself. Finances aren't mine. Hey, the abilities I have, everything is God. If you look at the disciples, there's a complete change in their lives after Jesus dies on the cross. Why? Because God is working in their lives. He's growing them. There's a purging. Peter wasn't the only disciple who needed to be purged. Every one of those disciples needed to continue to grow. But how are we purged? Verse number 3, how are we purged today? How were they purged? Verse number 3, now ye are clean through the what, everyone? Word. Which I have spoken unto you. The word, it's the word. Jesus is teaching specifically right here. Hey, the words that I'm teaching to you right now, hey, you're going to learn, you're going to grow through these teachings. You can see in John, he's got a bunch of red lettering there.
trying to teach them. These are the words that are going to help you. They're going to grow you. But for us, again, the Word of God as well. It's the Word of God that cleanses us. It's the Word of God that helps us be separated from sin. You've heard either sin will keep you from this book or this book will keep you from sin, right? Those two truths are true. Look at here in Psalm 119, 11. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Hey, how do you cleanse your way? How is your way purified? How does that happen? How are you separated from sin? It's by being in the Word of God. You know, John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know that word sanctify in John 17, guess what? It's the same word, Greek word, as in John 15. The same word as purgeth. It's the same word as verse 3 as in clean. You're clean through the words. Why? It's the idea, again, of being cleansed and being separated. It's the Word of God that changes life so we can see God work. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, that's wonderful truth. I know that. I understand that, Pastor Nate. I got that. It's very important. But I want you to understand here. There's something else that's said in this passage. There's something else in this passage that's explained to those. There is a necessary, okay, purging, but there's also a needless burning. There's a needless burning. This is the idea of people without Jesus Christ. In verse number 2, the Bible says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. In verse number 6, he says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. In verse number 6, we can kind of see a change in verse number 6, even from change number 2, verse number 2. We can see the pronouns change. It says, and men gather them, he's talking to lost people, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So these are people who didn't have to, okay, they didn't have to be, they didn't have to go to hell. These are folks that heard the Word of God, heard the truth of God's Word. In fact, they might even looked like Christians. They might even acted like Christians, but he says they're not saved. Can you imagine Judas here listening to the words? Judas hearing the words just moments before, hearing the words in the upper room. And as the disciples were there, Jesus said, hey, someone's going to betray me. Someone's going to betray me. And Judas is there. You have all the other disciples. And guess what? They all say, Lord, is it I? Every single one of them, they can't believe it. There's a traitor in their midst. But nobody says, hey, it's Judas. That's who it is. I know it's Judas. Because they trusted Judas. They trusted him. They thought, hey, this is someone who has borne fruit. This is someone who has much fruit in his life. We trust him. But guess what? The truth is this. He was never, ever attached truly to the vine. He was never truly saved. He truly did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he played a wonderful game. You know, Judas knew all the answers. Judas looked great. In fact, Jesus was the only one of the disciples that knew, hey, he's a fake. You know what? The Lord Jesus Christ knew the whole time, hey, Judas is, he's not one of us. He's not here. He doesn't really know. But you know what? He gives this bread, he dips in the sop, and he gives it to Judas. And Judas goes out into the darkness of night to commit his deed. You know what? Judas had an opportunity. Had an opportunity to say, you know what? I trust Jesus Christ, my Savior. I trust that Jesus is the Son of God. But instead of that, he went in the darkness of night and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that every person that rejects the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a burning. There is a burning. The idea of this vine here, the branches there that are not truly the Lord Jesus Christ are thrown into this fire. Some of you love campfires. You love to go in the backyard. You love to just sit around the fire. You know, it's fun. It's fun to fellowship there. But this fire, when it comes to the lake of fire, there is no fellowship. There is no longer any time to be able to talk with God. There is no opportunity to have the presence of God there in hell anymore. Let me just tell you, it's important to understand that God wants us to tell people about this. Mark 9 says, it's where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Three different times in the book of Mark, he says, hey, the fire is not quenched. The fire does not go out. The fire does not go out. The fire does not go out. And he's saying here very clearly, he says, hey, you've got to understand, you've got to respond correctly to the Word of God. But you know, every time the Word of God is preached, you have an opportunity to respond. Every time the Word of God is preached, you can respond. You can respond apathetically. You can respond sincerely and spiritually and say, Lord, I need help. I need to grow. Or you can respond and say, you know what? I don't need that. Every time the Word of God is preached, every time the sower comes out, the seed comes out, the Word is preached, you can respond and you can say, oh, yeah, No, I don't want to listen. Or I'm not listening at all, I'm zoned out. It's important to understand responding to the Word of God. I want you to hear this morning, though, the second thing that we need is not just having the right response to the Word of God. We do need to respond correctly to the Word of God. But we have to understand, secondly, there's also an important truth to having fruit, to bearing much fruit. Yes, we've got to respond correctly, but we've got to have a reliance on the work of God. We've got to have a full reliance on the Word of God. We have to decide to abide. Now, I look at John chapter 15, and I was just telling you here this morning, there is something that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to get across to us. So look at John chapter 15, and what word do you think that the Lord Jesus Christ wants those reading to pop out to them in John chapter 15? John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. What do you think? Thank you, Miss Small. Yeah, what do you think that is? Abide. The word, look it down there. Look at the word abide. Look at verse number 3. Verse number 3, now you are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you, right? Sorry, verse number 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Okay, verse 5, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, okay, it goes down, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse number 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Verse number 9, he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. And then this word here, continue ye in my love. Verse number 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Now, those words, you say, well, those weren't always the word abide. Pastor Nate, you missed a few of those. Now, the Greek word is meno, okay, or mene. That's the Greek word. It means to remain. Okay, it means to remain, it means to dwell, it means to continue, to stay put. But it's translated in English several different ways. So in this passage, it's translated abide, it's translated continue, and it's translated remain. And so the whole idea that Jesus is trying to get across to his disciples, that if you're going to bear much fruit, you got to remain in me. You got to remain in me. You got to remain. You have to stay with me. If we do not remain in the will of God, we will not be doing the work of God. If we do not remain underneath the power of the Spirit of God, we will not be doing our work. In fact, if we don't remain under the Spirit of God, instead of helping the cause of Christ, we can actually hurt the cause of Christ. Instead of doing a great work for God, and we try to do stuff, but we're not doing it in the spirit of strength of God, the source of God, guess what? It's not a help. It's a hindrance to the work of God. You know, this is where the rubber meets the road, or it goes all over the road. Because this is where we struggle in our walk with God. Because we know a lot of these truths as Christians. Hey, we got to grow, right? We got to be in the Word of God. We got to pray. But the truth is, a lot of times, we'll go after Catholics for salvation, right? We'll say, hey, it's grace alone, right? Faith alone in Jesus Christ. And that's true. But once we get saved, you know what a lot of times we do? We revert back to our fleshly thoughts. And think, I know that the Holy Spirit is the one that does the work in us, but I've got to do everything. I've got to do this myself. I've got to work hard. I've got to train hard. And yes, we've got to do those things, but not in our own strength, not in our own ability. You have to recognize that it is God who does the work in you. You know, the most mature believer here today, when they go away from Christ, they lose that discernment that they once had. You can have great spiritual discernment here. You have great wisdom here this morning. But if you go away from God, you're going to lose some of that wisdom. You're going to lose some of that discernment. You're going to have great power with God. You're going to have great fruitfulness with God. But if you go away from God, guess what? You're going to lose that fruitfulness. You're going to lose all that power. Why? Because our power is not of us. Our strength is not of us. You know, sometimes we try to live the Christian life on our own. Said Billy that I can do this. I can do this. I'm all right. I'm okay. I can do this. John 15, 5, he says this. For without me, ye can do what, everyone? Nothing. Now, I tell you what. When we're not with Christ, that's discouraging. Because you can't do anything without the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I were to tell somebody today, you know, you have no abilities in everything. And someone come to me and say, hey, I want to try this. No, you have no abilities. You can't do that. You know nothing. You know, a person can take that so many times, right? Yeah, you can't do anything there. You have no skills there. Now, that's true of me in a lot of areas. If you know me, there's a lot of areas you say, Pastor, just step on the side here. Will you just watch? This isn't your skill. You know, I've been doing, the last couple of weeks, I've been doing some of the concrete work with Kenton and Stephen here. And I've been the kind of the guy who goes and grabs all the tools and washes them off, you know, because I don't have all those skills. You know, I tried a little bit of the skill stuff, and they were nice, they were kind, but someone went over my job right after I did it. You know, hey, let me just fix that for you, Pastor Nate. It's like, oh, great, you know. You can only take for a time so long saying, hey, you can't do anything in these things. You're not good at this, you're not good at this, you're not good at this. But believers, we have to understand that there's nothing that we can do that's fruitful, nothing, without the work of God. You know, parents, we can't parent without the work of God. How many times we try to parent in our own strength? How many times we go throughout the day and we don't even think about God, we haven't opened our Bible, we haven't really focused, but we try to do these things and God is trying to work in us, he's trying to speak to us through the Holy Spirit and say, hey, you can't do this without me. You can't do this. We try to go to work and we have a rough day and wonder, what's going on here? But we never took the Lord Jesus Christ with us. We never took the Holy Spirit with us. We never allowed God to work in us and through us with the people at work. And we go through and we say, what's going on? And God said, hey, without me, ye can do nothing. That's a seasoned pastor. Hey, that's a new believer. That's a missionary that's been there for years and knows all the ropes, knows the language. He can't do anything without God. He said, disciples, it's going to get hard. There's going to be persecution. You're going to get killed. And you're going to have people that are against you. The world is going to hate you. You're going to be put in prison. Remember, you can't do anything without me. You know, believers, we can't forget that truth. Anything in this life that's worth doing cannot be done apart from the power and the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. He said, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to manifest myself to you. Judas, don't worry. Because when you have the Holy Spirit, you're going to have all of me. You're going to have all the power you need, all the ability you need. They didn't understand, but they would. Believers today, we should understand. We should understand that when we have the Holy Spirit, we have all of Jesus, all the power we need. We have Jesus we can come to at any time, as we heard a few weeks ago, to pray to. We have all power in heaven, right, and on earth to do God's work. So the truth is this. The reason why we're not bearing much fruit isn't because of the Spirit of God. It's because of us. You know, he says, without me, ye can do nothing. That means you need the Lord in the storms of life. Amen, we know that. That means you need the Lord when the desert winds are blowing. Yeah, we need that. Hey, when the lush valleys are green, everything is great in life. Yeah, we need the Lord. No, we need the Lord all the time. You know, the songwriter said, Lord, I need you when the sea of life is calm. Even when it's calm, we always need the Lord. If you're like me this morning and you understand this truth, when things start getting easy for you as a family, or maybe things start getting easy for you financially, maybe, or things start getting easy for you when it comes to health things, to get a little better, maybe a little better, we start saying, thank you, Lord, that's good. And we start doing our own thing. And the Holy Spirit says, whoa, you can't do anything without me. You need me all the time. You need me all the time to grow and to see God work. You know, the reason why there's not a lot of fruit in Christians' lives, because they don't really want all the fruit. They're content with some of the fruit. They're content sometimes, but I'll have a little more fruit. But they're not much fruit Christians. Hey, I want much fruit in my life. You know, the Word of God tells us about five levels of fruit. There's five levels of fruit. First of all, there's no fruit. You know, the Bible says, by their fruits ye shall know them. Talking about the wolves in sheep's clothing. Remember that passage? Matthew chapter 7. Hey, you'll know them by their fruits. They're not going to be fruits of the Spirit. They'll be fruits of the devil, right? Fruits of this world. So watch out for them. They'll talk good. They'll look good. But understand, they're not of God. In fact, the Bible tells us, try the spirits and see if they be of God, right? See if they be God. Understand that. So no fruit. You know, there's people that look like, okay, they look, they may look like they have fruit, but they don't. And that's the next one. There's no fruit and there's false fruit. Judas was the one with false fruit, right? He was the one, if you understood, he was someone who, he looked really, really good on the outside. But it was false fruit. It was fake. I mean, these are what we call, pastor said a couple weeks ago, it's called apostates. Those that go to church. Those that have maybe taught Sunday school classes. Those that maybe have been soul winners and have told me about Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden you hear about so-and-so? So-and-so says they don't believe in God anymore. So-and-so says they're an atheist now. You know, they were a Sunday school teacher. It just blows my mind. I can't believe, how can that work? It's simple. They're apostates. They were never with us, okay? They're never among us. In fact, the Bible tells us a verse that says, hey, they were not among us. They were with us, but then they left. They were not truly one of us. They were fakes. They were wolves in sheep's clothing. In order to be saved, you've got to be attached to the vine. So you have no fruit. You have false fruit. You have some fruit. As we're going through this passage, you can see that. You can have more fruit, and then you can have much fruit. Now, we can't do anything without the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, but the opposite is true. Isn't that great that the opposite is true? Without me, ye can do nothing. But then we have Philippians 4:13. I can do what? All things. Through what? Through Christ, which strengthens me. Hey, I'm attached to the vine. Hey, my Father, God, is the husbandman. Hey, he's purging, he's snipping, he's clipping. He's doing things in my life that I don't always see, I don't always understand. But he's doing this that I might give him more fruit and then much fruit. You understand that God is always working in your life? He's always actively working in your life for good as a believer. For good that he might draw you closer to him. You know, here's what we have to do. We have to recognize that we cannot bring forth any fruit that's going to remain without Christ. The source of our strength is the Lord Jesus Christ. The source of our spiritual nutrients is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the source of our stability is the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as a plant needs strength, just as a plant needs spiritual nutrition, a vine, and just as a vine needs stability when the winds come, that is what God does for us through the Holy Spirit. You may be at home. And let me tell you, you can't do the things at home without the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be at church. You can't do anything worthwhile without Jesus Christ. Maybe at the grocery store. You may be at your job. Guess what? You can't do anything without Jesus Christ. You know, can I just tell you that? That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing to say, God, I can't, but you can. God, I'm weak, but you're strong. God, I'm nothing, and I can't do anything, but God, you can do everything. You see, that's a much fruit-bearing Christian mentality, a reliance on God, not relying on their skill, not relying on their speech, not relying on their own academia, but relying solely on God and saying, God, you've given me these abilities, these talents, but I'm not relying on them. I'm relying on you. John 15:5, the same bringeth forth much fruit. John 15:8, that ye bear much fruit. Here's the third thing we need if we're going to be fruit-bearing Christians. The final thing here is rejoicing in the work of God. And here's when I just take a moment here and just say here this morning. When you preach, you get to see people's faces, you know. You preach, you get to see people's faces, and you have an opportunity to just see people. Now, I'm not like Mike Maynor, okay? Mike Maynor likes to call people out, right? Mike Maynor, we were talking about it. He'll call kids out, adults out. Man, he loves doing it. I do that. Someone's going to come after the service and beat me up, so I don't want that. But I will tell you this. Hey, you can see when somebody's listening usually. And you can see someone's out, or you can see someone's thinking, or someone's sad. But the Bible tells us here, there's a whole reason that God wants us to do the work of God here. He wants us to rejoice. He doesn't want to just do the work of God. He wants us to rejoice. He wants us to have joy in it. Look at verse number 10. He says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide or remain in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He says, you know what? If you're keeping my commandments, if you obey me, okay, these are important. If you obey me, if you trust in me, then guess what? You are going to remain in me, okay? You're going to remain in me. But look at this, verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You see, this verse is very important. I want to just help you understand that the first part of this verse is this. He says that my joy might remain in you. He's already given every one of us joy. It's not a matter of I can't find joy, I need joy, I'm having a hard day. He's already given you joy. He says that my joy might remain in you. I've given you the joy. I'm giving you what you need right now. So I've given you that ability there. Then he says, I've given you that, but then he says this, that your joy might be full, that you might keep it full, that you might rest in me, that you say, Lord, help me do this. I can't do it on my own, but I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to help me, that I might have joy in my life. You know how many Christians are out there right now that are followers of God, disciples of God, but they don't have much fruit because you know what? They're not joyful. They're not joyful in the work of God, right? They're not joyful in what God is doing in their life. No, the desire is that we ought to have joy-filled lives. You know, there's joy in serving the Lord. There's joy in hearing preaching of the Word of God. There's joy in going out soul winning when you're bearing much fruit. There's joy when you're parenting Hey, there's joy when nobody else sees it and you're doing stuff. Hey, some people are like, I don't know about that, Pastor Nate. There's joy in everything you do when you're linked up with the vine and you're resting in him for your source of strength and stability and spiritual nutrients. When you are attached to the vine and you're trusting in him, relying on him, and say, hey, I need you, guess what? He gives you the work you need. He gives you the joy you need. He gives you the love you need, as it talks about in this passage. He gives you the peace you need as well. Friends, I'm going to tell you this morning, when we link up with the vine, it is a joyful thing to be with the Lord. Now, people here today can stand up and they can give testimonies and say, hey, Pastor Nate, I had a rough week this past week. I had this and this and this happened to me and this wasn't good. I didn't like it at all. But the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, hey, my joy is in you. You just need to access that joy. You need to say, Lord, please help me. I can't do this in my own strength. I can't do this in my own ability. I can't bring out this joy. It'll be false. It'll be fake. But Lord, would you give me the joy that I need? You know, the Lord does that every time. He gives us joy in trials. You know, some of you, again, we have folks that are having health issues. We have folks that have financial issues. We have folks that have relationship issues, some things that maybe nobody else knows about, and there's some hard things going on. And can I tell you that the Lord wants you to be joyful? Can I ask you this? Can you be fruitful in the work of God when you're not joyful? Hey, when you're not joyful, when you're not saying, hey, God, this is what you want me to do, you know, God can do a work in our lives even when we're not following him. But I tell you, for us to experience that blessing, we need to have joy in our life. We need to have joy in the work of God. As we finish this morning, I just want to share with you this morning, as we finish here, I want to ask you this. What are some signs of a believer? A signs of a believer, that a believer is abiding in Christ. A believer is following the Lord and doing exactly what the Lord has called him to do and bearing much fruit. Turn your Bibles this morning to 1 John 2:10. I want to just go through these quickly. 1 John 2:10. What does it mean to bear much fruit? What are some specific applications this morning to bearing much fruit? I mean, it's nice to know, okay, I got to bear much fruit. I've got to trust in the vine. I know that. But what does that look like according to the Word of God? 1 John 2:10. We're going to be in 1 John for all of these, so all four of them. 1 John 2:10. He says in verse number 10, we find our word, remain or abide. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. What is the sign of a believer that's remaining in Christ, that's bearing much fruit? He loves his fellow brothers and sister in Christ. He cares about them. Hey, invest in their life. They're hurting, they're struggling. He goes out of his way and says, hey, how are things going? Hey, can I help you in this way? It's a sign of a mature believer, one that is bearing much fruit. Say, I want to understand that, hey, how can I help you? How can I do this for you? You know, I preached this past Wednesday to our teenagers on Galatians chapter 6. And talking about bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, to love one another. Hey, you have to bear one another's burdens. How do people know that? How do you bear much fruit? Hey, by loving one another. What did Jesus say? How do people know you're my disciples? By your love for one another. Hey, if you love one another, it's not that you preach a good sermon. It's not that you go out soul winning. It's not that you talk about God. It's that you love one another. What's a fruit bearing, a much fruit bearing Christian? It's one that loves other believers in the church. I mean, it's hard to do if you're not unified, if you've got a bone to pick with somebody, it's hard to do that, right? Hey, so cut that the dividing wall down, get that right and say, Holy Spirit, hey, I want to bear much fruit. Say, I want to do that. Love your brother. Here's number two, application number two. Verse number 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you know, you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God, what's the word? Abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Hey, the second thing is this. Hey, what is the sign of a mature believer who's bearing much fruit? The word of God remains in him. The word of God is continually in them, whether it's a service on Sunday morning, or Sunday night, or Wednesday night. I mean, they continually can't get enough of the Word of God. You know, we're living in an age where it's hard to get people to church. You know that? Christians, it's hard to get Christians to church. Why? It's like, well, I got to do this. This happened. Hey, God wants us to be in the church. When the doors are open, he wants us to worship together. He wants to spend time together. We're missing out on the work of God. That ought to be a deciding factor in your life as a father to lead the family and say, hey, we're going to be in church. We're going to do that. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Hey, if there's a Bible study, let's do it. Why? Because we want the Word of God. Notice this passage says the old men, and then it says the young men, though. Both of them, the Word of God must remain in both of them. Doesn't matter how old you are, you still need the Word of God to remain in you, to keep growing and stay close to the vine. Here's a third thing, third application. 1 John 2:17, what does the Bible say here? And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Hey, the third one here, third application is simple. He is doing the will of God right now in his life. He's doing the will of God, or she is doing the will of God right now in their lives. They're saying, I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. Hey, if we're not doing what God wants us to do, guess what? We're not accessing the power of the vine. Hey, the vine dresser, God Almighty, isn't able to do the work that he wants to do in our life because we're not listening, we're not heeding or obeying the commandments he's given to us. It's important to do that. Do the will of God for your life now. You know, teenagers, I love teens. Teens will say, yeah, basically they'll say it in a different way, but they'll tell me, I'll do God's will when I'm ready, Pastor Nate. You know? Say, no, that's not how it works. You do God's will now. Because God is ready. He's working, and he's working right now to do a work in your life, and you don't want to miss out on anything that God has for you. Do it now. There's no age. Oh, at age 12 now, I'll start doing God's will. No, you do it now as a child. So do the will of God. Number four, 1 John 2:24. 1 John 2:24, last one here this morning. 1 John 2:24. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. This final one here, if you just take this verse and look at it quickly, the idea is this. He has to have a biblical belief of Jesus. He has to have a biblical belief of who Jesus Christ is. You can say, I'm going to abide in Jesus. I'm going to abide in the vine. I'm going to let God do the work in my heart and the Holy Spirit work through me. But if you have an incorrect Jesus, it doesn't mean anything. You know, again, I can't help but think as we look at this passage of Scripture, this is just after Judas has betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus talks about, hey, some of you, hey, you look good. You look like you're attached to the vine. You know, but the idea is this. You look like you were saved, but you were not saved. Maybe here's somebody here this morning says, hey, Pastor Nate, the truth is this. I don't know for sure if I died today where I'm going. I know about church. I know verses in the Bible I could quote to you. I could tell you things that in my life that seemed like fruit in my life. You know, when I was 5 years old, I led my first soul to the Lord. I thought, you know, that God gave me opportunity. I wasn't saved. I didn't know. I just had a burden for people not to go to hell. You know, can I just tell you, there's a lot of things that look like fruit out there. There's a lot of things that look genuine. We got a lot of churches out there that have mega churches, that have lots of people, big crowds, big name speakers, say lots of fancy words, entertainment. But at the end of the day, we don't want to see false fruit. Okay, we want to see forced fruit. We don't want to see a fruit that's not real. We want to see much fruit in our life. And maybe this morning you need this reminder to say, you know what? God spoke to my heart that it's no question about it in my life that I've not been seeing the fruit in my life that God wants me to see. There's definitely in my life, in the past, I can think of times when I did see God's fruit and I did see much fruit. But there's times, you know, I'm looking back here recently, I've been going through a lot of time, there's been changes in my life, there have been struggles, and I haven't been focusing on the Lord, I've really been focusing on my circumstances. This morning, God spoke to my heart that I got to take my eyes and my mind off these circumstances and put them on the vine, Christ Jesus. Put them back on him and say, hey, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. I want to rely on you. I want to recognize the fact that, hey, I've got to respond correctly to the Word of God every time it's preached, every time you speak to me, whether I'm at home or church, that I would listen to the Word of God and I would grow. You know, one thing that I think about David in the Bible, yes, he was a shepherd boy. Yes, he was king of Israel. But David was the man, right, that was a man after God's own heart. But he strayed. He went away, right? If we look at his life, there were times when he did not bear fruit, right, in his life. It was not good. But there was times when he bore much fruit. You know, those times he bore much fruit is when he humbled himself. He said, Lord, I can't do this anymore without you. Lord, I got to get right. I got to need some cleansing. I need some purging. Maybe this morning God needs to cut some things out of your life. Maybe the truth is this. You can't have that wonderful bear much fruit because the truth is you don't care as much about that. Because you got other things in your life that are more important right now. Maybe this morning it's a prayer to say, Lord, there's some other things that are taking the place of you. But I'm saying this morning, Lord, you're going to be the one that I'm focusing on. Lord, you're going to be the one I'm relying on. And Lord, I can't do without you. I can't do this decision. I can't grow without you. But Lord, I want to bear much fruit. I want to respond to the work of the Spirit in my life. Hey, I want to respond correctly to the teaching and preaching. I want to prune those things that need to be cut out and get those things clean to the Word of God. Friend, can I just tell you, when we do that, we'll rejoice together in the work that God's doing. Hey, your joy will be full. You know, that doesn't mean you won't have problems, because you will. It doesn't mean there won't be issues in life, but what will happen is that during those trials and during those problems, you'll say, wow, that's God. Well, that's not me. My flesh would not have a good spirit. My flesh would not have a good attitude. But God is working in me and through me. Some of our older folks have been a wonderful testimony. But you're not done. God wants to continue to do a work in you and through. He's not done producing much fruit in your life. He's not done doing a work in your heart. Teenagers here tonight, he's not done doing a work in your heart. He wants you to continue to have much fruit. Folks here, are you bearing much fruit in your life? Who cares about the rest of us here, right? People can look and think that somebody's has fruit in their life. We don't know. We don't always see that. But God sees the fruit. And friend, if God were to see you, would he say that you are bearing much fruit and you walk with him? Have you gotten comfortable? Have you got complacent? Have you gotten maybe some apathetic spirit in your heart to where you're kind of good where you're at? Friend, let's wake up. Let's wake up. See, God, we want you to do revival. We got revival services coming up. Brother Rich Tozer. We want God to do a work. But let's let that ground be ready. Let's break up that fallow ground, that hard ground. And let's see God do a special work in our hearts. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you that you are the one we rely on. Lord, thank you. You're the one that we trust in, Lord. You're the one that gives us strength. Lord, we have no strength of our own. Lord, we have no goodness. We have no ability of our own. Lord, we look to you. Lord, as the King of Israel said, Lord, our eyes are upon thee. We rest in thee. Lord, there may be somebody here this morning that need to hear this. The fact is they know these truths. They understand them. But Lord, they understand that, you know what? I'm not bearing much fruit. There's some things in my life that need to be taken out. Some things that need to be cleaned. I need to rest. I need to remain and trust in the Lord. Maybe there's an individual here today that's not saved. That doesn't know you, Lord, as a personal Savior. Lord, I pray today that they would understand that you want them to attach themselves to you, to the power source of all power sources. Lord, I pray that they would ask for eternal life even today, that they might be saved. Lord, we thank you again for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the comfort. Thank you for the teaching and the direction, the guidance, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit that you put in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.